This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we got double trouble. We've got two folks from GTSI, and we're going to talk about big data and a recent report that was released talking about big data and the federal government. In the studio today, we have Prem Jadwani. He's a senior technologist and solutions architect at GTSI. And we have Darren House, who is a data center technologist also at GTSI. So we have a kind of different perspectives here, maybe more theoretical perspective and then down in the trenches, duke it out perspective on this whole idea of big data. But before we begin, perhaps we can start with you, Prem. Tell us a little about your background and why the audience should give you any credibility at all.
All right. Good morning, John. So I'm Prem Jadwani. As John mentioned, I'm a senior technologist. I actually have a technical background, and I have been with GTSI for 8 years. I am responsible for helping the company identify the emerging trends, technologies, and then put the solutions together to solve real business problems that our government customers have. So I have been at the forefront of technology, and I have been looking at the new emerging trends, whether it's cloud, big data, and many other new trends that are coming in the market.
You're very humble. He has a PhD in computer science, ladies and gentlemen. So, I mean, there's a lot of knowledge behind the observations that he makes here. And Darren, a little about your background and how you wound up at GTSI, please.
All right, yeah, thank you. So my name's Darren House. I'm a technologist for GTSI, and my focus area is data center technologies, and that kind of incorporates virtualization, data center consolidation technologies, and infrastructure as a service cloud type solutions. I was here. Actually, I've been in the IT field for a little over 16 years now. I've been an IT architect in the healthcare sector. I've been a network engineer at the Marine Corps. I've been through a lot of battles in the data center trying to figure stuff out and trying to make things work from a technical perspective. And that's why I'm here, and I was trying to help with the Big Data Commission.
Years ago, I was one of those guys pulling cables through the air duct, and you're one of those guys, too, getting the dust down your neck and cursing and going, I hate this. This is crazy. And then, it gives you practical experience, though, doesn't it?
I will never pull cable again.
Yes, I know. Well, today we're going to talk about a report by an organization called Tech America, a nonprofit right over here in Arlington. And I think it was October 3rd, Prem, is that right? What's the title of this report, and what's it got to do with our listeners?
Right. So this Tech America is a nonprofit technology corporation, and they actually are at the forefront of looking at the new trend. So we actually had a commission that started in June 12th was the kickoff date. And then we worked for almost 4 months, and October 3rd was the release date of the big data report. The title of the report is Demystifying Big Data, How Government Can Take Advantage of the Big Data. And the whole idea of Big Data Commission was to put together some content to guide the government leadership into what big data is, what are some of the use cases, what are some of the best practices, and how government can start their journey on the big data side.
You know, Darren, you're a veteran, and the Veterans Administration right now has 800,000 cases that are sitting there trying to be processed. I mean, from your perspective, you could be one of those cases. I mean, there's a classic big business, big data problem. Would you say it's a big problem, Prem?
Yeah, I mean, big data is a problem that many agencies are actually looking at. I mean, there is explosion of data. If you have seen the statistics recently being reported, the data is growing at an exponential rate, and it literally is doubling every 18 months. It's growing at a 40% every year. So big data is a trend that's not just specific to commercial companies, but public sector agencies. So definitely this is something the agencies are looking at, and it's going to get even more area of focus.
No, Darren, I think that what's unusual about this report is that they assume that the federal agencies already have this data that they're sitting on. They just have to be trained and learned how to use it and using some improved analytical tools. Would you agree?
I would say that a lot of that data is there. It's just that people aren't aware of where that data is and where the value is and how to manage and handle it. So I would agree that that data is there, but the problem is trying to figure out what to do with it and how to manage it.
You know, Prem, I was moderating a panel with this character named Todd Park, and he's really an interesting fellow. And he uses this phrase, data liberacion. That's the phrase that he uses, liberate data. and he has data palooza's, and he's probably out in the street now banging a drum, forcing people to use the data they're sitting on. He talks about, well, we had all this weather data, and now commercial companies are using it. We had all this geographic data, and now we can drive around with these magic devices. Does this resonate with you? Is this what this report kind of focuses on too, and liberating the data?
Absolutely. I mean, as Darren pointed out, the data is there. The agencies know they have a lot of data, but then the problem actually what arises is that data is locked in many different silos. And definitely that data needs to be correlated, and they have to have it in some kind of actionable format so they can make decisions based on that. So the data has to be liberated. Absolutely.
So, Darren, there are action points associated with this this report, and one of the action points is an agency should take a look and identify some of the projects that may benefit from the ability to analyze large amounts of data. Is that one of the initiatives that they talk about?
Absolutely. That's one of the fundamental things that they can actually start making some progress on the big data projects or initiatives is to be able to identify the data, identify some of the problems that they might be able to solve with the data that they have, and start making some take some steps forward with that information.
I just had my son clean up the garage and paint it. And he had to look around the garage and identify what to throw out and what to keep. And then he had to paint the garage and put it all in order. And it was very painful. It hasn't happened in 17 years. And I think there are agencies that may not be 17 years, Prem, but it may be 17 months or 2 or 3 years before they've took an inventory. What's in the garage? What's in our data storage center?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, that is exactly one of the recommendations in the big data report, that the government agencies have to take that first step, look at the art of the possible, what's possible, and then take inventory of their data to see what they got and who manages that data, what's the source of the data, and that's the starting point.
So, Darren, you're working with the commission. What was your role with this commission?
So my role, first and foremost, was to support Prem as a commissioner. I was the deputy commissioner on there, and to represent GTSI. I focused on the emerging technologies and the technical underpinnings work stream for the commission. So identifying where technology is today, how vendors play in with it, what are the possible permutations in the future, and those types of things.
It must be a challenge to figure out what's going on. I mean, the old baseball joke is who's on first, but if you look what's going on in California, there's many new companies. People are stealing and robbing talent. And for example, we had Mike Golson on him from Cloudera, and he grabbed the guy who wrote Hadoop. And I mean, this is a very, very difficult horse race to observe, isn't it?
There's a lot of moving parts in this horse race, but there is some consistency as well in terms of the types of technologies and the types of workloads that happen in a big data environment, that you can break things down and make them a little bit smaller so they're easier to understand. But I agree, there's a lot of stuff moving, and this is an evolution, and we are actually in a very interesting part of this evolution to see how things come out. We're all looking forward to seeing what happens.
So, Prem, this report includes 10 case studies, mm-hmm. which are little stories that humans love stories, and this is a problem. This is how we solved it with data. I think this is a good way for my listeners to identify business requirements that may fit this big data model.
Absolutely. So one of the key work streams in the big data group was to identify the use cases and the possible ways that government agencies can use big data. So there are examples like National Archives, National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, there is DHS, there is IRS, and these are all the big agencies that are dealing with lots of data, and they are some really good examples in there that we can go over and we can talk about that actually how agencies are using this to their advantage.
Darren, if you come over to help my son paint the garage, and I put a paintbrush in your hand, and I say, well, what the heck is big data anyway, Darren? We're doing it all the time. Is this big amounts? Is it volume, variety, and velocity? Or what the heck is big data?
Well, first I'd start by saying you got to take your paint cans, and you got to put your paint cans over on this corner of the shelf, and then you got to take your turpentine and move it over here
yeah.
and put your tools down there.
And
once you
organize
this stuff, then you can start making sense of it and decide how you want to do it and where you're going to start painting.
So big data really is a lot of volume, but it has to be organized and consistent in order to use some of these analytical tools. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And I would also say this is a bigger trend in IT that's been evolving over time with the enterprise architecture approaches and those types of things, where you have to categorize, you have to prioritize, you have to start figuring things out by breaking them down into similar profile type blocks to start understanding them and solving those problems.
You know, Prem, I think it's not only an issue of volume, but it's also, let's talk about variety. Look now, we have sensors bringing in new data. We have mobile phones bringing in new data. We have websites bringing data. You know, Facebook is at a billion users now. And we have electronic health records bringing new data. It's a wider variety than we ever had in the past.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. I mean, the three V's are always true, right? Volume, velocity, variety, and variety is actually the complexity. As you mentioned, it is not just the structured data, but now sensors data. You have full motion video. Think about that. I mean, that's pretty big, and you're ingesting terabytes of data, and you have to make sense out of it.
Hard to make sense. And we're going to try to make sense about the new report from Tech America after we take a break. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Prem Jadwani, Senior Technologist and Solutions Architect at GTSI, and his colleague, Darren House, Data Center Technologist. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Prem Jadwani, Senior Technologist and Solutions Architect at GTSI, and his colleague, Darren House, Data Center Technologist at GTSI. We got the yin and yang here. We got a lot of theory. We got a guy who's pulled cables. So we got both perspectives on big data and actually putting big data in work boots and making sure my listeners can take advantage of some of the data they have sitting on. And we're talking about a report from this Tech America group, and both of these gentlemen sat on the panel and helped develop some of these concepts and maybe selected some of the use cases and came up with recommendations. One recommendation is a new title. The title is Chief Data Officer. So, Prem, what do you think of Chief Data Officer? You think this is a practical suggestion? Should every agency have a CDO? Is that the term?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Chief Data Officer is seemingly a new title, but if you look at the type of role, I mean, you need to start making sense of all the data. There's so much data, as we mentioned a few minutes back, right? And the agencies need to get into understanding what they can do with the data. What's that actionable intelligence? What's that single version of truth that is going to help them get to the next level and have successful mission outcomes? So the Chief Data Officer is no different than Chief Security Officer, Chief Information Officer. So it's a leadership that every agency needs and who can help the agency lead them in the right direction.
So, Darren, what other recommendations did the commission offer in this report?
Well, they had a couple different types of recommendations, some of them from the policy perspective and also from the technology perspective. Well, I'd actually call them more technology awareness discussions and actual recommendations, because I try to avoid some of the technology recommendations since they're usually tied to vendors. But public policy things, besides having the chief data officers, taking the mission approach first. You don't start from the technology, you start from trying to figure out what problems the mission has to solve, go through the business process of that first, and then figure out the technology afterwards. That's one of the key things that a lot of times that happens backwards. And I believe that this recommendation is a very important starting point.
I think it's obvious that many of my listeners will say, well, just making a transition from the cloud is difficult. The way I talk to novices is I say, well, in most businesses, the server is in the building somewhere. With cloud computing, the server is in someone else's building somewhere. And that's an easy way to – kind of a simplistic way to define it. But, Prem, do you think these recommendations are practical? Do you think, you know, anyone listening can implement these recommendations in the next 18, 20 months?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things we did in the Big Data Commission was actually – interview real customers who have really implemented big data and they are successful with it. So the recommendations that we came up with was based on the best practices and the lessons learned in the trenches. So they are absolutely something that agencies can take and start implementing. And the whole idea is to start small, but start now.
What's interesting is there's lessons learned and there's lessons observed. You can observe a lesson and not, you know, if you drive your car without any oil in it, you could learn the lesson. And if you don't change the oil, then it's not going to have any change there. So, Darren, from your perspective, what do you think the challenges are going to be for my listeners in reading the report and trying to implement some of the ideas?
I think at the beginning, it's really understanding the true value that you can derive from your organization from big data. I think that's the biggest thing, because for any of these projects that you have to start, you have to socialize the idea. You have to get people behind you. You have to start creating a project plan, those types of things. You have to allocate funds, those types of things. To be able to do that effectively, you have to show really value and what you're going to get out of it. And I think that's one of the biggest inhibitors, is really understanding the value that can be derived from big data and starting that is going to be a big effort.
Well, one value, I think, is reducing cost. And one of your colleagues, Prem, on the commission was IBM's Stephen Mills. And he says that big data pays for itself just based on the fraud that it stops. That's an intriguing statement, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we had, in fact, Center of Medicare and Medicaid Services agency as one of the customers we interviewed. And that was absolutely what many of these agencies are struggling with. How do you deal with fraud, waste, and abuse? And big data analytics can help people understand and get to the root cause of where the fraud's happening, why it is happening, and how to curb it. And so there goes your cost savings. They're right there.
Darren, if you just look at the federal government, I mean, there's some, I think, obvious examples of where big data can be harnessed and maybe use these analytical tools on them. One would be with patient treatments. One might be fraud patterns, like at CMS. And I think cancer genome sequences. I mean, these are areas of obvious uses of big data, aren't they?
Absolutely, they are. And one of the big ones that I see coming up as well, and Prem and I have talked about this a bunch, is cybersecurity. Cybersecurity, I think, is going to be a huge play for big data, and it's going to have a large impact for the federal government.
I was at a conference last week, and one of the speakers there said that the Stuxnet virus, it's been re-engineered and sent back to us. We send it out. Or whoever received it, send it back to whoever sent it out. So I think this is an interesting use of big data. And how, I mean, of all the activities going on the Internet right now, all these petabytes of data, I mean, this is not like a needle in a haystack. This is a needle in 10,000 haystacks and growing every day. And so I think big data has to be used to do some of this security analytics.
Absolutely. I mean, John, we work with one of the DoD agencies at GTSI, and we are helping them actually bring all this intelligence together in terms of where the attacks are coming from, trying to track the root cause of the attacks and threat vectors, and then be able to make decisions to be able to proactively stop the attacks.
One of the commission's suggestions was coming up with an intern program for students who are interested in data analytics. And practical, good idea, Darren? You think this is too pie in the sky?
I think it's right on, actually. I think all the recommendations in the Tech America Commission, I thought were very good. It's not just because we were part of it, but I thought they were real world. They were very realistic. One of the big issues is and the programming and the ability to make sense out of in a Hadoop environment. One of the big things is programming, being able to do the proper programming to be able to pull the data out of whether it's images or sensor information, all that stuff. That's a whole new market where colleges haven't been focusing on it. It's a different type of programming skill, trying to get people in there to start learning that skill and figuring out these things in the government environment, I think, is an excellent idea.
I think in the security community, too, what they're trying to do, for example, Cisco is partnering with community colleges to bring students in and say, hey, books are fine, but let's put, you know, 9 hours in the data center and then 1 hour in the classroom. And maybe this is another example of let's take a university environment and change it to make it practical. So let's actually get people who are using their analytical skills on big data.
Absolutely. I mean, there are a lot of big data projects going on in many universities, and they are pretty successful. They are coming out with innovative technologies. And what that has to translate is into the commercial side of the business and something that can be adopted. So universities have to encourage more and more of people getting into. In fact, I would even recommend having an entire master's degree and bachelor's degree program in big data. I mean, it is so critical.
Important. Darren, one of the folks on the panel was Teresa Carlson. Well-known in this community. She's with Amazon right now. And she talks about big data as being an enabler. And what she says, and I think this is an interesting perspective, is that large and small agencies can use big data productively. Sounds like an interesting concept. I never thought of it from a small, there's tons of small agencies. There's ways to use it as well, is there?
Absolutely. Every agency, they all have problems to solve, and they all have data that they could get some more benefit out of. I remember it was in the mid-late 2000s when the whole predictive analytics thing came out, and people were talking about how great predictive analytics will be for business and to be able to predict what you can do and have better decision-making. The problem was there weren't enough statisticians that you could come into the corporate world to be able to make sense of all this data to help out. That problem is still, or at least the issue is still here, but now there's more means to solve that, and probably for the smaller agencies, things like cloud solutions are going to be a great way for them to be that will be an enabler for them to be able to get into the big data footprint with least risk and low cost.
You know, I have kids who are in college, and some of the their friends are studying library science, which seems old and stodgy, but a lot of library science people are used in big data projects because they can organize and classify information, just like the garage we talked about.
Right.
Librarians all of a sudden have a skill set that are valuable to someone like Darren.
Yep. Wow, I didn't even think about that, but that's true.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So those skill sets, I mean, the ones that are obvious are you know, I never thought of library science, but that's what big data is looking at archival information, just like all these interviews on Federal News Radio, and garnering information from that.
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, not only you need the statistical skills, but you need the modeling skills. You need the real-time analytics skills. So it's a combination of many multiple skills coming together, and we will see the requirement for data scientists, data analytics.
Comes even maybe a chief data officer, whatever the term is. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Take a break. Talk more big data when we get back. You were speaking today with Prem Jadwani, senior technologist and solutions architect, and Darren House, data center technologist, his colleague at GTSI. Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, double trouble, we have Prem Jadwani, senior technologist and solutions architect from GTSI, and his colleague, Darren House, data center technologist at GTSI. And we're talking big data and a recent report that was issued by Tech America. These gentlemen assisted in coming up this report that was released probably on October 3rd, I think. And, you know, I think everyone realizes who's listening to this that the cost of data and storage is plummeting. And the question is, well, how can the federal government take advantage of it? And maybe the next question is, how can the federal government get a hold of this big data and release it to private companies to use the data like the examples in maps we talked about earlier, and the examples in, I think, weather that we talked about earlier, too. So, Prem, tell me more about this commission. And, you know, I think it starts off with each agency taking a full inventory of the data sets they have. Is that one of the requirements?
That's correct. So, as I mentioned earlier, the commission came together to find out what some of the successful agencies are doing with big data and how they are leveraging the power of big data. So, we looked at a couple of different examples, and we came up with 10 good use cases or case studies in the Big Data Commission report. And clearly, the one that stands out is the National Archives, which actually goes into, it's a perfect example. They're dealing with terabytes of data, 142 terabytes of data. Wow, that's a big number. And now, how do they organize this data? How do they digitize this data? How do they make it searchable, right? I mean, this is the use case they were dealing with, and they have done a phenomenal job getting started on that. Of course, it's a journey. That's a long journey. They need to get there, but they at least are already showing the rest of the public sector this can be done, and it can be done very effectively.
And 10 use cases are small and bite-sized portions. It's not an 800-page novel by a Russian novelist. It's small case studies that you can read at work in an afternoon, or maybe block out 2 hours and dive into it and try to get some lessons from it.
Absolutely. That was the whole intention. You find useful nuggets of information of how different agencies are doing, and then adopt what you feel you can do in your agency by identifying the top one or two use cases that you can use leverage big data for.
You know, Darren, in the previous block, we talked about this funny word Hadoop. Maybe you can define what Hadoop is for our listeners and where Hadoop fits in this whole big data picture.
Sure. So Hadoop is one of the approaches to be able to manage the big data problem. It's a solution for addressing a large amounts of variable data, the structured, unstructured, semi-structured data, breaking that data down into smaller chunks to be able to distribute it through a computer system or multiple computer systems to be able to make meaningful sense out of that data. That's the 10,000-foot view of it. It's just a large distributed system to be able to do kind of massive parallel processing of the data.
So the key concept here is unstructured data. That's the key or the breakthrough with Hadoop. Is that right?
Well, the key is that any structure, whether it's structured or unstructured, because sometimes you have multiple large databases that are structured data, but then you break them down into a Hadoop environment to be able to do the analytics for it. So it can be structured, it can be unstructured, all types of data, and that's one of the key things about Hadoop. It's everything.
Now, when you started using the word structured, unstructured, I keep thinking of Tai Chi and flexibility and people moving with a flexible manner. Sometimes you get locked in a silo and you're inflexible and you can't receive information from other areas. But what Hadoop does, I think what big data does, it forces you to have flexibility, not with your arms and legs, but with the ability to receive and process data. Flexibility.
That's correct. And one of the things I would like to add to what Darren just mentioned is Hadoop is actually, it's not a replacement for your relational database management system. People have that misconception. If I have Hadoop, I don't need RDBMS. So you need both. I mean, therefore, structured data, mostly people are going to use RDBMS and data warehouse kind of environment. But for all this raw data that's coming in, you need the Hadoop environment, and which can be built by all your commodity servers, and you can stack them up together. You can go thousands of nodes, and you can scale with a huge computational power. I mean, that's the power of Hadoop, and it's open source.
So it's not one or the other, it's supplemental.
That's correct.
It's another tool in your toolbox. When you're painting the garage, you may need a utility knife, and you can use that for handling big data. Another tool.
That's exactly right.
So, Darren, the question is, GTSI is a well-known name, been in the community for many years. They participated in this. Can GTSI be of value to my listeners? What do they provide? Do they provide Hadoop, or where do they fit in this picture?
So absolutely, we can help in this. We're in the process, you know, being part of the Big Data Commission, we've been kind of waiting to see what the outcome was going to be. I think a lot of companies are trying to identify what their solution and approach is going to be to big data. A lot of the issues come into standardization and all that kind of stuff. But I think we definitely are working together with our partners to try and figure out the best approach for big data for our customer base. There's a lot of different opportunities out there depending on size and scale. But one of the things I would like to say, the approach that we're taking is actually the ability to create a Hadoop environment that works within an operational environment. So you don't have to make massive changes to your data center to get a Hadoop in there. You don't have to make massive changes to your processes or your management infrastructure or anything like that. The goal is to try and make Hadoop more of an enterprise-type solution, take it out of the college science experiment arena that it has been in for a while, and make it an enterprise-type solution where you can just add it as another service that comes out of your data center.
So GTSI can provide information on using a wide variety of these tools. Maybe Hadoop is the wrong tool. Maybe another tool is better. So you can provide information. And one way that my listeners like to have information is through blogs. And I guess, Prem, you have a blog at GTSI. Where can my listeners find that?
Absolutely. So I blog very regularly. I've been doing it for last several months. And the URL for that is www.gtsi.com/blog. And you can read that I blog on various topics. It's cybersecurity, mobility, BYOD, and, of course, big data.
Your last name's kind of hard for my listeners, but your first name's very easy, P-R-E-M, Prem. Maybe you can find that at GTSI and learn more about that. That's kind of interesting. Do you have a blog too, Darren, or what do you write about?
Absolutely. I'm a part of the blog team at GTSI as well, the same location at gtsi.com/blogs. My focus is on data center consolidation initiatives, virtualization, and private cloud solutions, and the topics that fall within those categories.
Well, I blog about my radio guests. And you can go to Google and type in John Gilroy Scoundrel and find my blog. Or that's what a lot of people do, but you can type in John Gilroy blog or just John Gilroy, kind of find it pretty easily. I guess I'm well known to the folks at Google. The commission has all kinds of interesting suggestions or recommendations, Prem, and one of them is to remove some of the procurement-related barriers to making this transition. I think that's really kind of crossing the T and dotting the I because, oh, by the way, how are we going to implement this just practically?
That's correct. And through the commission, we realized one of the barriers in the government is absolutely the procurement related, right? How do they start? So I believe in the three P's, the people, the processes, and like there are so many different ways you can start breaking the barriers, but you have to look at the key procurement challenges. What is the easiest way for the government to go through this procurement cycle is to make sure you have the right value add, you have the right business case, and then go through the right contracting officers and then make a solid recommendation.
So Darren, here's the practical question because you have a lot of practical experience here. It's a cultural change, isn't it? I mean, this is as much a technical change as a cultural change, and perhaps this is what Tech America is trying to suggest is that no, you can do it. You can do it. Look, here's a use case from NARA. They did it. Why not you? So this is almost like, well, everyone's eating their broccoli. So, or maybe in this case, everyone's eating their ice cream. Is it a cultural change too?
I think it's a case by case because there's a couple different things here. For me, I believe that a lot of the cultural change is more on the mission side and understanding the value and what you can do out of it. There's no technology transformation in big data. There's no disruptive technologies. It's still the technologies that we've had today. It's just using them a little bit differently. And the ability to try and create those solutions, those pieces of technology together to make them less disruptive but still get that outcome that you're looking for is, I think, the key to solving that problem. So it's more of how you tie the technology together more than it is the technology itself.
Prem, is there any opinion on open source versus licensed software versus magic dust? I mean, do they dive into this little fight?
Absolutely. So when a few minutes back, we talked about Hadoop. In fact, that is a perfect example of an Apache open source foundation. It's a prime product, which actually, as Darren mentioned, was a college product. It was used in the universities, and it is based on the Google file system. That's a Google was the first one to actually start using that concept. And now that has become such an important part of the big data. So there will be COTS products. There will be licensed products. But at the same time, I don't think the agencies should overlook the open source side, because that's a very important component.
Yeah, I think it's a. If you look at the initiatives from the White House, you of course see the $200 million big data initiative, and there's also hints and swords being rattled about open source as well. And I think this is at least a tip to the cap to some open source solutions that may be out there. And you know, I don't think it's a perfect for everyone, but it may have some applications for some of my listeners. Let's take a quick break. We come back, talk a little about big data, and maybe find out about the background of our guests here, find out if they're card-carrying nerds or not. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Prem Jadwani, Senior Technologist and Solutions Architect at GTSI, and his colleague, Darren House, Data Center Technologist. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Prem Jadwani, Senior Technologist and Solutions Architect at GTSI, and his colleague, Darren House, Data Center Technologist at GTSI. And we're talking about a report they kind of had a finger in, a report from Tech America on big data that was released on October 3rd. Many of my listeners listen online. Some people actually listen in their cars and driving around. Some just read blogs. Some follow Twitter, and they're involved in Twitter. Is there a Twitter handle that my listeners can follow to get more information from you, Prem?
Absolutely. My Twitter handle is @ GTSI_architect, and I tweet very frequently on many technology articles. Anything interesting that I find, definitely you'll enjoy. So please go ahead and follow me.
Yeah, and I think, Darren, many of my listeners are very, very topical listeners. They want to know everything in the world about SharePoint, or they want to know everything about big data or Hadoop, and so they may follow this Twitter feed just to find out more and see what's going on. And they may not ever call you or go to your website or download anything, but they're kind of information junkies for very, very specific bits of information. My Twitter handle is @RayGilray, and I will be tweeting about this interview as well. So we did the social media stuff and the checklist. Now we got to do the hard part of the show. Gentlemen, don't run out of the room screaming. We have to do the 10-question test to see if you're a card-carrying nerd. So, Prem, I got the questions in front of me. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay. Year you bought your first computer?
1998.
98. That's pretty late in the game. I'm not saying anything. Year your first cell phone?
1999.
Are you sure you have a PhD in computer science? You must be a youngster. And you have a Twitter feed, right?
Absolutely. Okay. @GTSI_architect.
Good. Good to repeat. That's a good one. And you have a blog too, right?
Absolutely.
GTSI.com/blog.
Oh,
I forgot. I have bad memory. And do you use any online personal backup services?
Yes, absolutely. Dropbox.
Dropbox. And what kind of smartphone do you have?
Apple iPhone.
Okay. A number of apps on that little thing?
I about have like 35 of them.
That's reasonable. Do you have a tablet device?
Yes, iPad.
iPad, okay. What social networking sites do you participate in?
LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook.
Well, getting points. And the last book read was paper or electronic?
I read an electronic book.
Well, you're getting a lot of points in the later parts of the questions. The early parts are weak, but hey, we're going to work with it. Mr. Darren House, we're going to give you the exact same test. We'll see who walks out with the little nerd hat here. Your first computer?
1994.
Well, you beat up on that one, huh? And your first cell phone?
I think it was around 2000.
Okay, you lost points there.
Yeah.
And do you have your own Twitter feed?
I do not.
Okay. And you have a blog, though?
Yes, I do, okay. Through GTSI.com.
Do you use online personal backup?
No, I use USB drives.
A lot of security people would encourage that. And what kind of smartphone do you have?
Android.
Android. Well, we have a battle of the bands here.
That's right.
Number of apps on the Android?
I have no idea.
Even better. I have so many, I can't count. How many cars do you have? I have so many. And a tablet device?
I actually just got a Kindle recently.
Ooh, another point of contention here between you two. Social networking sites you participate in?
Mostly LinkedIn. I have a Facebook account, but I hardly ever use it.
And last book you read, paper or electronic?
Actually, I've been a long-time paper person, but I just, as I said, got the Kindle. So the last book, the book I'm currently reading, is electronic.
Well, I'll have to put these results through my UNIVAC computer in my basement, and I'll print out a report and mail you the report on who the correct card-carrying nerd is here. But, you know, it's an interesting mix between, I always ask these silly questions, and no one really says Foursquare or some of these unusual kind of social networking sites, and the answers are traditional. And the security people are always flipped about, you know, online personal backup, and they say, I don't even know what that is. So it's interesting to see what people's security interest is with these questions. Well, this is a part of the show where we got the crystal ball, and there actually was a crystal ball in here. They broadcast some hockey show from the studio, and I used to hand people the crystal ball, and it was an eight ball or something. And we said, what about the future? I mean, what's going on here? I mean, Prem, you've got a lot of academic credentials here, and you've got a lot of practical credentials. You've helped on this commission. Where is the world of big data going? Is this a trending phrase that your kids are going to look back and go, oh, Dad, you're so boring. Big data is so 2012. Well, where's it going to head?
So that's a wonderful question. I mean, everybody has that question. Where is big data going to be in the next 5 years, right? So I clearly see this is going to get a very, very important. It's going to become a very important technology and area that will be in focus even more than cloud, because clearly as the use cases that are coming out of big data that different agencies and commercial companies are proving that it is a very valuable tool which can give you that actionable intelligence. And, you know, in today's world, having that timely data to make actionable, to take some timely decisions is such an important tool in your toolbox, right? So I clearly feel it's going to move out of the universities and it is going to become commercialized big time, and the vendors and all the other industry partners are going to collaborate and make it a real commercial success.
Darren, you've got some nuts and bolts experience with this. Perhaps you have a different perspective on where big data is heading. I mean, if you just look around, you've seen the press releases. By 2015, there are going to be a billion smartphones on the planet generating all kinds of information and pictures and tweets. And you know, they're looking at 400 million tablets by the end of this year, where even Prem didn't have a tablet 5 years ago because it didn't exist. Where do you see this whole world heading?
Well, Prem and I have a lot of similar beliefs on this. I believe really what's going to happen is the pressure is going to come from the top down on this one. It's not a technology innovation. It's going to be the conversation is going to be around business value and about the ability to make effective decisions and the data, the valid data that you can use to make those effective decisions. So I think that that's going to be the real driver in it. I believe that, you know, 2013, we'll see some adoption, but it's going to be slow. But in the next couple of years, I definitely think that there will be a lot more adoption, and it will line up with how the different vendors out in the market start positioning their solutions and how those solutions mature and as they integrate with other partners to create bigger solutions that manage the whole problem.
Prem, there's a very fancy word that you can impress your neighbors with. The fancy phrase is predictive analytics. Sounds, you know, I'd like to have predictive analytics when it comes to the NFL football. It seems like predictive analytics is almost tied to the hip with big data. Separate categories, is that going to go away? Is this all integrated together?
No, I believe predictive analytics is going to be a part of big data. In fact, it is the end result, right? I mean, if you see at the use cases or the case studies that we went through in the big data commission, it was all about like what the agencies are benefiting ultimately going through the big data solution sets, right? So predictive analytics is going to help the companies understand what's coming in the future. Now, this may look unrealistic, but actually that's already happening in many retail companies and commercial side of the house. And intelligence communities, DoD communities are also leveraging predictive analytics. So it's all going to come together eventually.
Darren, I've raised three kids, and one of the problems with my kids when they were small, and perhaps you can identify with this, is unwillingness to share. You can sit in that couch together. You know, one has to sit on the floor. No, you have to watch the TV together. You can share. But, you know, silly questions with six-year-olds or two-year-olds is one thing. But I think we have adults working for the federal government that don't want to share.
Yeah, there's been a couple, I think, yeah.
There is we don't want to issue. Name names here, but I think this is a human problem here with sharing data and merging different data sources.
It's absolutely a human problem, and it's a historical problem that's kind of built up over time, I think. I'm hoping that with a lot of the current pressures from the OMB and some of the initiatives and the budget cuts, that those will help provide more incentives to actually help overcome some of those issues that we've been dealing with for quite a long time.
Yeah, I think it's balancing some of the technology challenges. And maybe this is one of the objectives that Tech America had by releasing this report. And by the way, Tech America reached out to many, many different areas of the community here to get all kinds of different information, including GTSI, IBM, Amazon Web. And they put people with big brains like you, Prem, in there to try to figure out how to practice. Because I think they're not going to have a choice. I think budget's going to go down, and they're going to have to sit in a room and say, what's it going to be? You know, are we going to cut out lunch? Or are we going to cut out that? You have to cut something in the budget, and maybe this will allow them to at least have a partial budget completion.
Absolutely. I mean, if you see, there are competing priorities going on in the public sector. There's BYOD, there are shared services, there is mobility, and then, of course, there's big data, and then there's cloud. So ultimately, they will have to narrow down onto what's really the business case here. And as we have been saying, like, if they see that there is a good use case, something that can save them money and can help them be more effective in their mission, and which big data is clearly a winner in that space. So I feel that is going to be absolutely the one of the top three initiatives.
So, Prem, they can download this report at techamericafoundation.org/bigdata. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Download that report. Is there another case study that – we just have a few seconds here, Darren, real quick. Is there another case study besides the NARA case study that's of interest to listeners or something you found intriguing?
You know, what I found most intriguing about this was the what was outlined in the commission report on the potential – capabilities of big data in terms of the ability, the scenario of, you know, there's increasing populations, there's lower budgets, but somehow traffic is better. Some of the possibilities of what can we do tomorrow with the ideas of big data, and that's the stuff that I really found interesting and intriguing.
The future of big data, interesting. Have to end this interview, perhaps come back in 6 or 8 months and see how these initiatives have played out. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guests, Prem Jadwani, Senior Technologist and Solutions Architect, and Darren House, Data Center Technologist, both work at GTSI. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.